It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. On the line, I have Ian Freeman, talk show host of Free Talk Live. He's a blogger at freekeen.com, and he runs LRN.fm, which simulcasts this show. And I need Ian, and let me tell you why. There is today, this weekend, I took off and I spent time with my family. My wife and I have our 26th wedding anniversary coming up next week. And this last weekend was the only time that we could schedule it. We just go off. And there's a just one day resort thing we did up in North Scottsdale. They have the Lazy River. It's like a long pool that goes around the hotel. And it's just kind of like a river. You just float around an inner tube going around. It was really fun and relaxing. Went to dinner with our family, had a grandbaby. We're just trying to be cool. But what happens is, you know, I get home Sunday night, and early this morning I got to get caught up on the news and different. Okay, let's see what we missed. And it was so overwhelming that I know I have to share it with you guys in the last 2 hours of the show. But I mean, it's one of those, it makes your heart sick. You know, the things that we predict and we talk about, and we're trying to stop and educate the people on what, you know, because forewarned is probably the best thing that we can do. And I'm going, wow, I can't go 3 hours like this. I'm just, because I'm always with the positive waves, man. And so I called Ian. I said, you got to help me out. You know, help me keep my sanity. You got to give me some raise. Oh, you got to tell me the good news. Tell me what's going on in New Hampshire, freekeen.com and Free Talk Live and all the great people that are around you. And we're surrounded by good people here too, but we're in a sea of an ocean, a tide of just negative waves. And especially with this, you know, SB 1070 and immigration thing and a lot of stuff. I'll play you some clips of what's been coming out. We're starting to find behind the moving of this stuff. Of course, it's all political, but it was more than that. And you always know, follow the money. And it's, you know, there's organizations and companies that make a lot of money from this, and we'll talk about that, how they're doing it, and it's incarceration. You know, it's the privatization of the prisons, and they're going, yeah, no more people you can arrest, more money we make, and a little sum for the home team on the back end. And this all starts coming out, and it's just, we know we're in the right place, that we're just looking what's the proper role of government. I mean, it just makes it so much easier. Are they defending individual rights, or are they taking them away for whatever excuse? And they always got a good excuse in their minds. So there's a lot of stuff. You stay tuned. You know, in the next couple hours, I'm going to scare you, I guess, or make you concerned. But I think it would be remiss of me if I did not give you all of the positive things that are going on. And that's what Ian's going to help us with. Help me out, Ian, man. Tell me all the good stuff that's going on in New Hampshire.
Well, Ernie, it's always good to be with you, and I appreciate the invitation here today. And there's so much going on in New Hampshire, there's no way I can do anything but, you know, give you a little slice. Because, I mean, as you know, you've been here this year twice. Was it twice this year?
At least. Yeah. I've probably been 6-7 times in New Hampshire, enjoyed it, even though it's a long-ass plane ride. I mean, it's a long ways up there, and then you got to drive and stuff. But I've enjoyed it so much every time, even when it's in the dead of the worst freaking snowfall winter of the winter of, what was it, 07 and 08 there. We were, I mean, dang, you know, but it was just so pleasurable just to hang with everybody.
Well, there's nothing quite like being around other people who have a like mindset. I come from Sarasota, Florida, and that's where I was born and raised and spent 26 years of my life down there. And there's more that goes on here in a week in New Hampshire than went on all year long as far as liberty activism is concerned down there. And so it's just like a totally different world. So, I mean, where do we start? Obviously, I'm here in Keene, so I'm, you know, ground level with a lot of the activism that's been happening here. Did you hear about the mass arrests we had a couple weeks ago?
Yes, I did. And please go ahead and share it with the audience.
Well, we've been all summer long. Well, going back to last year, we had the 420 celebrations that have been going on a daily basis here in Keene.
Explain to people what 420 celebrations are.
People are smoking cannabis openly in the local public park. Now, did you get a chance to come through Keene at all when you were into here in New Hampshire?
Yeah. No, Keene is like, describe it to the audience. When you go to New Hampshire, you have like right across the border from Massachusetts, coming from Boston, which has, you know, its own negative effect. You go into Nashua, then you get up into Manchester, and you have to keep going north, go to the capital, Concord. And then on the east coast, on the actual coast, what do they call that town on the coast?
That would be Portsmouth.
Yeah, Portsmouth. I think there was another one. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, so you have that is kind of the metropolis, the main more kind of your urban areas. Then you go north and you're out in the boonies. And I mean, if you go to New Hampshire, I just want to be left alone. You're the I'm not even an anarchist. I'm a nothingist. I'm out here. Don't want nobody bothering me. They're up there out in the wilderness. It's very sparsely populated. Then if you go west, you go west of Manchester. I don't know what 60 miles or something is Keene.
I don't know what the mileage is, but yeah, it's about an hour and a half.
So you go to Keene, and it's, and those of you that have been in developing cities, metropolises, that you'll have a new development at, you know, you got the new strip centers, you got the, you know, the blacker roads, you know, they're newer, you got the nicer signs, the newer Walmarts or whatever. I mean, it's a fresh looking town. It's modern, but it seems like it's a new town, like it's growing, a lot, and it's kind of got this fresh look to it.
You're talking about Keene?
That's the impression that I got.
Well, that's good. It's a nice, it's a beautiful town. Unfortunately, it is ruled over by a bunch of little tyrants. There's a this thing called the Monadnock Marketplace, which is this big shopping center with like a 24-hour grocery store and the Target and, you know, the Bed Bath and Beyond, all these big commercial stores. And it took them something like 20 years to actually push that plan through the city council. So Keene certainly has its share of issues, as does every place. And,
well, the reason I said that is when you go to Manchester, it's a very old town with the red brick kind of, you know, it's old. Look, when I go to Keene, I didn't get that impression.
Well, Keene certainly is an old town. It's been around for a long time, but it's time for a change, and that's one of the reasons why we're here. And of course, New Hampshire isn't the free state yet, so there are a lot of challenges here that need to be met. But I think that the activists are up to the task. And so, okay, so to get back to the story, right? There were mass arrests a couple weeks ago, and it was because the park. The center of town, there's a little park called Central Square. It's right in the middle of town. It's right across the street from the city hall, and it's right in the heart of downtown Keene. So that's where a lot of protests and things like that take place, and whether it's the liberty activists doing them or somebody else. That's kind of the place to be if you want to be seen by traffic and people downtown, that kind of thing. So people have been doing these 420 celebrations, smoking cannabis there for literally months. It's coming up on almost a full year that has been going on. And the police haven't made an arrest on that since late in 2009. So all year long, those have gone on unmolested by the police.
Why?
And then when the...
Why are you doing it? And two, why haven't they arrested anybody?
Well, it's a good question. The reason why is, I think, because people just want to live free. They want to live like free people and not hide anymore, like so many cannabis users do. They hide in their homes and they are afraid of what people will think about them, that sort of thing. So they started doing it publicly, and there were some arrests initially, and the video footage of all that is up at freekeene.com. The police did attempt to crack down, but it backfired on them because the first time they arrested somebody, there were probably about 100 people in the park smoking at that time. I mean, not all of them were, but there were 100 people in the park, and about half of them, so about 50 people, marched down to the police station, because you can walk pretty much anywhere in Keene. It's a very walkable city. It was, you know, given an award for that. It's so very bike-friendly. A lot of people walked down to the police department, the same people who were at the 420 celebration, and then they sat around in a huge circle. If you go to freekeene.com, there's a picture right at the top in the header of the website. You can see this actually happening. There were probably about 30 people that sat in a large circle in the road at the police department, essentially blocking the road. And they proceeded to smoke cannabis at the police department while waiting for their arrested friend to be released. And the next day, the Keene police attempted to continue the crackdown, to continue to intimidate. They made two more arrests, and again, about 50 people walked back to the police department, this time going inside the lobby of the police department and proceeding to smoke cannabis in the lobby of the police department. The police did nothing about this, and that was the last we saw of them for a long time.
You know, this is, I mean, what did you think was going to happen? So when we come back, we'll see why they took it to the man in such an overt way and what the effect has been long term and where we're going. You know, this is civil disobedience is the way of the land there in Keene. So I'm very interested. I'm sure you are too. You stay right there.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, yeah, Lord knows I got to break free here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and I got Ian Freeman from FreeKeene.com and Free Talk Live host. He's there in Keene, New Hampshire, telling us what's up and what we've been talking about. Just like, give me some advances in liberty, man. Make me feel better. And what do we got? We got a bunch of guys, you know, advancing the right to be able to do whatever they want with their bodies in the lobby of the police department. I mean, you know, so I'm like, okay. If that's how some people roll. All right, so you're there doinking the man, saying, you know, we're gonna go ahead and smoke our marijuana, and gosh darn it, this is the battle that we want to have. Why that one? I mean, you think it's representative of a lot of other things that kind of evolves from that? I mean, what was the meeting that everybody sat around? You know what we should do? We should go to the park and smoke dope, and when they arrest us, we'll go down to the police station. I mean,
no, it doesn't happen that way. I mean, there aren't any meetings like that around here, so really the way it happened was completely organic. The 420 celebration started after Rich Paul, one of the local activists, and a few others decided to smoke some cannabis after a tea party one day at the same park. And then that kind of led to happening on another day, and that led to it happening on another day. And before you know it, there were 7, there were 21, there were 50, there were 100, there were 130 people there, you know, following the several following days. So it just kind of grew out on its own. It was I'd always envisioned something like this happening up here, but I never envisioned it like this, and it's better than what I could have imagined. But no, there was no we, there was no decision, there was no plan, or anything like that. As the best liberty activist, I think, or the best liberty activism sometimes happens. So that does that answer your question?
Yeah, sure. No, well, so what's the impact from the people that live there? You have people that have lived there multi-generations, oftentimes in New Hampshire, and it's one of the oldest states, and you have these people that are just, you know, going about their business, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden they got this to contend with. You got any supporters from the locals?
Oh, of course. Now, any time that you do something that's controversial, whether it's doing civil disobedience or even if it's just taking a political position that opposes the status quo, any time you oppose the status quo, there are going to be, you know, there's going to be a division in what people think about you. So on one hand, you've got people that really vehemently disagree. And we find that they tend to anonymously comment on things like newspaper articles and anonymously comment on our blog at Free Keene. It's very rare that those people actually appear anywhere in real life to have a conversation or critique even. So we don't really know who those people are, but we know they're out there. And on the other hand, you've got people that are really jazzed up that this is happening in their hometown, that this kind of level of disobedience and activism and non-cooperation, because that's another important factor, is that when these people get arrested, they're not most of them are not pleading guilty. They're going all the way through the system. They're clogging up the courts, which are already clogged up. They're already out of money. And so they're really just kind of teetering on the precipice. So reactions, as expected, are to be mixed. And we get a lot of critique. The activists out in Keene get a lot of critique from some of the people that are more kind of inside the system activists, because, well, they feel like for the Keeniacs are poisoning the well, so to speak. And this is the common critique that has been leveled at us, because not everybody out here wants to just go and put on a suit and jump in and play the political game.
Well, what kind of impact have you had on law enforcement? I mean, after a while, you're doing this for a year. You would imagine the police force is what size in Keene?
Probably about 35 cops.
How big a town is Keene? How many people live there?
About 25,000 people live in Keene, and then a bunch more come in during the daytime from the surrounding areas to work and to shop. So, for instance, we're in the southwest corner of the state, which means we're not far from Massachusetts, not far from Vermont. So there's a fair amount of people that will come here from those places to get their tax-free shopping done, things like that. And, of course, the surrounding areas provide a lot of people that work at some of the retail establishments and the businesses, manufacturers, and things like that here. So about 25,000, which is nice, because it really means that you can have you can be kind of a big fish in a small pond, so to speak, as far as your activism is concerned. Whether your activism style is to, you know, get out there and do the disobedient stuff, or it's to run for political office, either way, you're going to be a big fish in a small pond here, and I think that's one of the real benefits.
So we have law enforcement. You have a few dozen guys that are meeting you, talking to you, arresting you, getting to know you intimately, know your names, got your mugshots. And they're and I would imagine after a period of a year or two, you guys have talked to a lot of these guys. How many people are you starting to see of the three dozen officers that you come in contact with? Is there a percentage that are more supportive of what you're doing?
I would say so. I think that a lot of the Keene police, to give those guys credit, and they definitely deserve some credit. Clearly, they're still doing the wrong thing a lot of the time, but many of them are at least amicable. They are approachable. You can have conversations with them. We, in fact, were recently doing that at the new Keene Nightcaps that were created, which is a kind of a nighttime social gathering in that very same park. So you got the 420s happening in the afternoon, and then at around 11 at night, kind of the party continues. And after doing that for several weeks unmolested by the police, they did decide to send cops into the park to try to quash the fun. We ended up having basically cop night, where people just stood around and chatted with Keene PD for several days. And those are good conversations, and I've always had good conversations with them. In fact, if you go and look for Keene Police Ride-Along or Keene Ride-Along on YouTube, you'll find myself and Sam Dodson from ObscuredTruth.com doing a ride-along with one of the Keene Police lieutenants. And a lot of these guys are pretty friendly to the idea of ending prohibition, if not on everything, but certainly on marijuana. They're friendly to that. We've got regular Sam and I also meet occasionally with the police chief just to have some breakfast. So we're going to be meeting up with him in another week and a half. Just, again, to build relationships and get to know these people. And it's something that you can do, as you pointed out, because they're hardly, just a few dozen police. So it's easy to kind of learn their names and learn about them. And it's great, because in bigger cities, you won't see the same cop twice. There might be hundreds of police officers, and it's hard to do that stuff there.
So there has to be other issues that are involved with law enforcement, and they show up and they know you're one of the Free Keene guys. Do they approach you differently? Do they feel more comfortable? Or do they feel less threatened, even though they know a lot of you guys are armed? But they are a lot more, or do they their guns drawn and, hut, and got their M16s? I mean, what's the attitude as they try to enforce or communicate with you on other issues?
Good question. Keene PD is pretty laid back. I think even in comparison to some of the other police departments across New Hampshire, there have been some problems out in Manchester with the police out there essentially harassing people for open carrying. And we have not ever had that problem in Keene. The Keene police doesn't mind at all. In fact, there was a guy that was arrested a while back for doing some gardening in the park, and he was open carrying a rifle. And I thought for sure Keene police was going to confiscate the rifle because they were arresting the guy. And No, the lieutenant that came out asked me to just take the rifle home with me, and so it wasn't a problem at all. They are pretty cool with open carry around here, and fairly laid back compared to, again, I come from the South, and down there the police are really intimidating. And maybe it was because I was all by myself, pretty much. I mean, I had a handful of activist friends, but not like up here. So that might have been a factor. But I think that generally New Hampshire cops are a little bit better, at least out here in the Keene area, than some of the other cops, especially in the South.
Wow. And this translates into what in the future? Because I've talked to other people from Keene, and it goes something like this. We just want to be left alone, and sooner or later, the things that we are doing may come afoul of the law, and they're going to come after us, and we're going to challenge it. And they have that, I guess, that track record from you guys going into the lobby of the police department, so I guess they know what they're going to get into. It's going to be we're going to file a lawsuit, there's going to be civil action, we're taking it to the end, and they're But I'm wondering, is there a locals there that, you know, we're going to get us a police chief that's going to crack down on these guys. We're going to get them taken care of. We're going to get them what for? Or are they supportive? What about, they're going to break, so we're not going to have time. I want you to think about this, because these are the questions that I want to know, because we have another generation of their children that are coming in, and they're being infected with this freedom thing, or are they seeing it as an inoculation? The attitude of the people there, how are you influencing them? We're going to find out from Ian Freeman when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we got one mission from one man, Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live in FreeKeene.com, New Hampshire. You know, this is the one thing I want to make sure we got to, Ian, is that we have an infection of the indigenous. I mean, I guess you guys are starting to consider yourself indigenous after a while. But, you know, there are people that have been there long. They probably feel pretty happy about being left alone, being up there in New Hampshire, don't see any problem. Then everybody leaving everybody alone, and all of a sudden got these guys out smoking dope in the parks. And are they understanding it's about drug freedom, or is it freedom in general? Or do they understand what the mission that you guys are on, and are they supportive? And what about the next generation coming up? Give me a lay of the land, man.
Well, you know, it just depends on who you ask, right? I mean, because as I mentioned before, anytime you take a controversial position, you're going to find people that disagree. And so inevitably, there are people in Keene that feel very upset by the fact that activists have come out here, especially the civilly disobedient types. They're very upset about that. And I think that the people that are most likely to be upset are going to be the people who have something invested in the system, whether they're working for the government, or perhaps they have a family member, a loved one that works for the state, or they've got a contract with the state. I think those are the people that are going to be most likely threatened, but not all. Certainly some people just won't understand, or they'll hear misinformation. That's one of the biggest issues I think that we deal with here, is that when the newspaper writes an article, they don't always portray things in the way that we might want to see them portrayed. And if somebody, all they ever hear about as far as what those free staters are doing is something that they've heard from someone who has read the article, then you start getting that telephone problem where, a bad original word is being mistranslated and miscommunicated. And so really the best way to deal with those kinds of that misinformation going around is, A, we have our own media. You know, we've got television, we've got radio, we've even got newsprint up here. So we've got our own media mouthpieces to get our word out. And of course, the more people that we have, the better. The more activists we have up here, the better, because then people are going to start meeting those activists at their jobs, the place of employment. They're going to have coworkers who are liberty activists. And of course, one of the big confusing factors up here for people is, well, is it the Free Staters or are they liberty activists? Because Free Staters are just liberty activists that have moved here to New Hampshire in order to be active here. So really what we end up seeing is confusion, because we've got people that have moved here for the purpose of like being with a Free State Project. And then there are also a bunch of locals who have been so jazzed up by the fact that people are moving here that they've gotten really active. In fact, my observations, Ernie, so far have been that it's the locals that are some of the best liberty activists that we have. that people who might have been dormant prior to the Free State Project, perhaps, you know, believing that things were just getting worse and that there was no hope, then all of a sudden they find out that there are these, you know, literally hundreds of people that believe as they do, that are moving in or have moved in, and of course thousands more are pledged to, and that really gives them a level of energy and excitement that they, you know, maybe heretofore hadn't had, and it gets them back out into the game, and they really come out, hit the ground running, and they keep going. They don't seem to burn out. So some of our best activists have lived here either their whole lives or have lived here a lot longer than the Free State Project has been around. So to answer your question, there's a mix of responses, inevitably. And no matter what we do, whether it's civil disobedience or doing the outreach, remember when you were at the Free State Project Liberty Forum, you gave really what I found an inspirational speech, and it inspired me to go out and start doing some middle school outreach, because you'd mentioned that you'd had a lot of success reaching out to 7th and 8th graders down there with Freedom's Phoenix. And so I thought, okay, well, we've been doing high school outreach where we were standing out in front of the high school holding freekeen.com banners and other signs and such. And we were having a good time with that. But I'd thought about doing the middle school, and I thought, well, I don't know. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we shouldn't. And then when you suggested that you'd had so much success, I thought, all right, well, what the heck? Let's do the middle school thing. And as soon as we started doing that, that's when the real controversy started generating. No one seemed to care when we were out in front of the high school, but it was when we targeted the middle schoolers that all of a sudden the angry voices started up again.
Well, how'd that go?
We reached some middle schoolers. I mean, we stood out in front of the middle school.
Well, how did they react? I mean, the kids themselves.
Varied, of course. Some of them, you know, you're inevitably going to get the FUs and the flipping of the bird, although that tends to happen more with the high school kids. You also get waves, you get peace signs, you get smiles. Mostly positive, I would say, would be the reaction. But interestingly, after the controversy started brewing up around it and newspaper articles were written, which we posted over at freekeen.com, newspaper articles written, which kind of, again, misportrayed exactly what was going on. Those newspaper articles started going around, and then, again, more misinformation spread around, started to see kind of a negative shift in some of the kids' responses, because obviously certain people were talking to them about us. But nonetheless, we continued to come out, and we'll be going back when the school season begins again.
You know, the reason that, and what Ian's talking about is, I've been doing this for a long time, and especially during the 90s, for years, I would, as a county chairman of the Libertarian Party here, and so we get requests to go to the schools and such. And we had elementary, younger kids, and you'd do, you know, we would actually go into the classroom, you know, we'd be invited, and you might work on that. You never know. Somebody might let you guys come in. And what happened was the younger kids were like, yeah, cool, you know, you talk about property rights and different things, and they'd be interested in whatever wins recess. And then you had the high school kids, and they're pretty much already told, they know what's what, just ask them, they'll tell you all about it, and MTV says. But it was the junior high kids, 7th and 8th grade, that really had the most positive response to freedom. And I figured out why. It's why they break them out into junior high. They separate them. It's called middle school. It's junior high. It's whatever. And the reason is because that's when they start puberty. They start questioning authority. Let me tell you who they're questioning. Everybody. And that's the time you want to get them with, you want to, you know, hit them with some just principles, some facts, some, mm-hmm. you know, clear the mind fog. And if you get them at that point, you really can't stop it. It's locked in. Once they learn a truth, it's very difficult to unlearn the truth.
Right. And now you know why some people are so upset at us for doing that, because they understand that those youngsters are open-minded, and they know that these ideas are dangerous to the old way of doing things, to the good old boy network and the status quo. And so they definitely did, you know, were upset about that. So there's a lot going on here. I mean, it's not just civil disobedience. There's outreach happening as well, as I pointed out, with the media and the high school.
Well, tell
and
me about the
outreach.
Newspaper that you're using to get this out. What kind of material do you have in it, and how often do you publish it?
It's a good question. It's actually not our paper necessarily. It started as the Keene Free Press many, many years ago when I first moved up here, and then the publishers of the Keene Free Press moved to Grafton, and they turned it into the New Hampshire Free Press, and it's now published and distributed around the state. But what we did here in Keene was we decided to buy a couple pages of it, basically, and sort of piggyback onto their already existing distribution. We picked up the distribution for the Keene area, and you've got them in grocery stores and the convenience stores and things like that. But basically, it's the New Hampshire Free Press with a couple pages front and back, so four pages basically devoted to Keene activism. And since that happened, we've also seen other areas start to pick up on that. Grafton now has a page in there. I think there's a Manchester page coming. I think there may already be a Manchester page. And that's one of the things that I really wanted to see happen. It's starting to happen now is duplicating some of these ideas. FreeGrafton.com just launched recently, and that's the first other free fill-in-the-city name website that has launched since Free Keene. So it's nice to see that our proof of concept has encouraged other people to get out there and put their ideas out. But so, yeah, we've got that. Plus, we've got LRN.FM. Somebody has put that on. Some heroic people have put that on the FM band here in town. Plus, we've got a public access channel that it's easy to get local, your video work. It's easy to get that on the air, so people that aren't necessarily tied into the movement can just kind of come across it either on television or on radio or newsprint. So I think that's all very important.
Well, you have elected officials there in New Hampshire are probably different than a lot of other states. One, they don't get paid hardly anything.
$100 for the so-called reps.
And there's so many of them. I mean, it's hundreds. And they each representative probably represents a few thousand people. So I would imagine that, state representation for Keene numbers in that area probably at least, a dozen or so.
Keene has some of the worst ratings as far as the so-called representatives here. There's the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, which is a political organization that every year ranks the various different reps on the votes that they make, and they give them an A through F, it's A through F, and then there's also constitutional threats, so F isn't the worst. Most of the so-called reps here in Keene are either D, F, or constitutional threats. So there's inside the political system, there's a lot of work that can be done. And again, a lot of the critique to the Keeniacs is that, well, y'all are about civil disobedience. Well, that's not true. There has been political action here. There was a young lady that was my girlfriend that ran for city council in 2007. A Keene native, Nick Ryder, ran for city council in 2009, getting approximately 22 and 24% of the vote each. And then this year, Andrew Carroll is running for state representative here in this area. And he's, pretty much an open anarchist. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, when we come back, Ian, I want you to explain to us the political landscape, because a lot of people, certainly in freekeen.com, they're like, you're still voting? I mean, it's, and I'm with you, brother, I understand, but I want to see how it's changed the landscape in politics. We'll get to that when we come back here on Declare Your Independence.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, a little bit of Doobie Brothers for my friends at FreeKeene.com. I want to make sure that we let the people know that we're doing, we're doing this freedom thing, and we're trying to learn something, and we're trying to share what we learned and have learned, and then, of course, what you've accomplished there, we want to share with everyone else. And it's hard for me to see if they can justify, animosity or hatred or stopping or get the troops out or jackboot, left jackboot or the right jackboot or jackboot on your throat party to come after you guys, when you're just so open and you're so informative and you're so out front with everything. And then, of course, you're a bunch of nice people. And, it's amazing to me. I'm trying to see how is that, even though you don't necessarily endorse electoral politics, which I don't blame you, but, I'm just wondering how that's manifested at the state legislature. Are they having to take you guys into account? Are they wanting to meet with you? They want your endorsement. They certainly don't want you angry with them. I can guarantee you that. So tell me how it plays out in politics.
Well, I couldn't tell you that anybody's seeking the endorsement necessarily of at least the activists at Free Keene. I mean, I can't speak for everybody around here. And by the way, this is still a fairly early thing. I mean, we're still early movers at this point. There are only really a few dozen people that have just moved to the Keene area. There are hundreds across the state. But we're still not really even talking about a significantly large movement. It's very, very ground floor at this moment. Eventually, as the numbers continue to get here, the activists will become quite a voting bloc, and you'll start to see more of the politicians pander to the Liberty community. And from what I understand, we are seeing that in the Concord area, which is, of course, where a lot of the real hardcore politics happens. It's my understanding that a number of the so-called reps up there are paying close attention to what the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance suggests. The New Hampshire Liberty Alliance comes out with what they call their gold standard, where they, for instance, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, the Republicans and Democrats get their, basically their marching orders from their political party. So they'll be given information that says, okay, if you're a Republican, you need to vote this way, this way, this way, and this way. That way they don't have to think. And so the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance has done that too. They've created their gold standard, which is how someone should vote if they believe in liberty. And so they've been handing those out to the very same reps. And it turns out some of these reps are getting very concerned with what liberty rating they're given in order for them to get reelected. And they are starting to know that the liberty activists here are some of the best activists and that they want them on their campaigns. So those things are happening. They're probably going to happen more over time. As you know, people start getting more involved, and I don't oppose getting involved in the system, Ernie. I think that whatever it is that we can do to get to liberty, we should do it. I just don't see the in the system stuff as being the best return on investment, so to speak. So, for instance, over at freekeen.com, I announced just this week that Andrew Carroll is running for state rep. And again, I have no problem getting behind his campaign. I gave him some money over the weekend, contributed to his campaign, and we'll certainly be happy to help him out in whatever way is possible. Because I think that even though the political system is fairly inefficient, or incredibly inefficient, I still think there's some value at it in that if Andrew runs for political office, then he's going to get interviewed by various different organizations. They've already sent him a bunch of questionnaires, which he's filled out and sent back in. He's going to get talked about in the newspaper. He's going to be invited on the local radio shows that are done by the local hosts. So it gets the ideas exposure. And I think that's the most, personally, I think that's the most valuable thing about working in the system by running candidates and such, that we get the ideas out there. It's just that, you know, you can only do that on their schedule. In the meantime, what do they want us to do? Sit around and do nothing or obey all these stupid laws in the meantime while we wait to try to have some success we wait for the successes in politics? That'd be crazy.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah. I'm trying to look into the future, because if I'm going to invest and move family or move to New Hampshire, which is, of course, is the goal, what's it going to be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
That's an exciting question. I have no idea. I can tell you, I've been here 4 years now, Ernie. It's going to be 4 years for me on Labor Day weekend of this year. And it's been a huge change since 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I was here with maybe five or so other people that were living in this area, maybe 10 at the most. And none of them were in my age range, and it was really bumming my girlfriend out at the time, because there wasn't anybody of her age range which she could, you know, really relate to. And now that situation is completely different. We have all kinds of social events. As I mentioned to you, there are these nightcaps going on every single night. We've got 15 to 30 people in the park, open containers, cannabis, socializing, and we clean up the park. So the park is usually left cleaner than we arrived. So there's all these social events. There's our social Sundays where we've had up to upwards of 50 people gather this year after Porkfest. I think we hit 60 people, and that happens on a weekly basis. We got people going out to karaoke. So there's a huge social movement. Plus, you mentioned families. We've got families.freekeen.com, which is now a Facebook group, where we're starting to see more families move now. 4 years ago, 3 years ago, it was pretty much single males that were coming up here. It's easier for them. They're unattached. They don't have a lot of strings. They don't have families and important jobs. So it's easier for the singles to make a move. And now we're starting to see, since time has passed, we're starting to see the families come in, and they're starting to get together, and they had a barbecue a couple months ago. And so we're, again, right on the cusp of the very beginnings of all this. And you've seen some of the footage. You've seen the news items and the coverage that has happened just with literally a few dozen activists. Ernie, I mean, five more years, we could have a couple hundred people here in maybe more than that in 5 years. I mean, if we start getting the popularity starts to explode, who knows what could be possible? I mean, it's really exciting.
You know, the thing is that as an experienced activist for 22 years, I know the power of just one. I mean, in fact, that was my speech at the Liberty Forum, the power of one. And the whole point that I'm hoping the audience gets is that if you're right, it doesn't matter how many. It just, you got the correct philosophy exposed to people. It infects them like a virus. In fact, did you see that movie Inception yet?
Oh, no, but I've heard really good things about it.
You know, I tell you, the whole thing is wrapped up in the one thing. The inception of an idea. You know, let's say espionage, you're going to go in your dream and take secrets or whatever. But what the real challenge is can you plant an idea deep enough in someone's subconscious that it defines them? That is, you know, Freedom's Answer, what's the question? If you get that in, you know, I tell you what, the idea that they want to beat out of humanity. And I had someone on there was saying the very first line in the Communist Manifesto is that there's no property rights. I mean, you don't have any property. It belongs to the state kind of thing. And as I had my 11-month-old granddaughter, I got a grandson being born later this month. And, you know, my granddaughter, she hits about, you know, 10, 11 months. Man, she's got the first concept, the first social concept that she gets, other than, you know, change me, feed me, I want up, I want down. I mean, the first social concept she gets is mine. I mean, that was so blatantly, I go, oh, I see why they want to get us at a younger age. You know, you have, you know, it's first to sixth grade. Then it was first to eighth grade. You go, now we got to get that puberty thing, you know, get control of them. Well, maybe we need a little more time. So then they have government education to 12th grade. Then they had government funded, you know, secondary. Then you have, now we got to get them earlier. We'll try them earlier. We'll get kindergarten. Then we'll get Head Start. Then we'll get preschool. Then we'll get, you know, birth. Then we'll play statist music in the womb or something. I mean, you know, they got to keep getting you earlier, and I'm starting to realize why. They have to beat out of you the concept of mine. And I'm going, oh, and it just dawned on me here recently. So I'm going, oh, I get it. Well, this is, it's almost impossible to do that unless you have to augment it with, I don't know, chemicals or something. I mean, it's, so I can
it's
see.
Very human nature, sure.
Very, very basic mind. And so I don't see how the bad guys are going to prevail. And
how could they? Their time is running out, and they know it.
Not in us remain human. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the rest of the show today, is that very concept. They're going to make an effort, and we're starting to get evidence of them doing that. And that's
hey, Ernie. Well, yeah. I know you've got a lot planned here, but if you don't mind, I'd like to invite people to freekeen.com.
Please.
And also Free State Project. I mean, that's kind of what started all this. But if you come to freekeen.com, you'll find 130-plus reasons to move to Keene. We've even got Penn Jillette endorsing moving to Keene. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Penn and Teller, yeah.
Yep. He's got an endorsement up there, and we've got all kinds of reasons to move here. There's a forum where it's the most popular liberty forum in New Hampshire. We've got it at freekeen.com. It's a great place to go, introduce yourself, and start to meet some of these people that'll be your friends and your neighbors for your for life. I mean, this is a lifelong movement of people who are dedicated to seeing liberty happen in their lifetime, and I'm so excited that I can be a part of it. It's been the most fun I've ever had in my whole life the last 4 years I've been here, and it just keeps getting better.
Well, how old are
year
you,
after
Ian?
Year.
How old are you?
I had just turned 30 today.
You know, happy birthday, 30th. Woohoo! See,
we're
synced up, man. I knew that. Kind of. You know, the one thing that you'll get out of the people there is they do understand the concept of mine. I tell you the one thing that, you know, that whole concept of yours, that's something else you got to teach a kid. If it's in my hands, it's mine, you know. So then you start to get, you know, the next social concept is, hey, man, you know, that's mine too. So mine and yours, the government thinks always mine. They don't even have the understanding of yours. Well, you go to freekeene.com, and they understand the concept. Ian, thanks for making
Thank
me
you,
feel
Ernie.
Better. You know, I really needed it, and you helped me out when I needed it, because it's going to get kind of dark in the next couple of hours, and I just couldn't go 3 hours all with the negative waves, man.
I'm here for you, man.
Happy, happy birthday.
Thanks.
We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I'm going to have to just share some news with you. It makes as much optimism as I have. I just feel the darkness. And I want to thank Ian Freeman from freekeen.com for helping me out here so that I can have the energy to share the rest of the story with you. We'll be right back.